welcome to episode 6, if you can believe it. We've made it to the 6th round of this podcast.
Congratulations.
To all of us.
Especially to the listeners.
Yeah, if you guys have made it to the 6th round and you keep listening,
you're either our mother.
Our mother.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. And she is... let's see. Hey, tomorrow's Mother's Day. So let's just give a shout out to our mother.
12? You couldn't be more than 5.
You're so fat, they have to jack you up to take off your shoes.
Yeah, well, you're so skinny, your eyes are in single file.
Well, you're so ugly, your ears stick out to get away from your face.
Well, your mama is
Hold
so...
Hold on, wait a minute. Don't bring anyone mother into this. She ain't here. If it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't be here. So remember, when you put down one mother, you put down mothers all over the world.
Yeah, by the time people listen to this,
it'll be Father's Day. But hey, Mom, happy Mother's Day tomorrow. Your sons, Ruben and Ryan, love you. And I'm sure your other sons, Dion and Jason, who are not a part of this podcast.
They have their own podcast, the Rambo series.
The Rambo series. Let's not spoil anything, but if this Rocky series goes well, we just may tackle.
The Rambo series?
The Rambles.
Oh, good stuff. Hey, what do you think Rocky's relationship was with his mother?
Let's wait till we get our guest host on the line. That might be a great conversation piece.
Okay. Who is our guest host?
Okay, everyone. Today, we actually have a guest co-host with us. He's not our guest host. Let's not give him a promotion. He's not the guest host.
He's the guest.
He's
sitting in with us today.
I like that. Let's just say Kyle Peterson sitting in with us today. He is a friend of mine. So anyways, Kyle is a huge Rocky fan. And let's see if he's got what it takes to go toe-to-toe with us.
Put him against the ropes. I've never met Kyle.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Kyle.
Kyle, what's going on, brother?
But by the way, this is Ruben. Nice to meet you.
Oh, hey. Nice to meet you, Ruben. I've enjoyed you on the first 3 episodes.
Well, thank you. You know, the 4th one came out today. What's holding you back?
Oh, you know, the wife has me doing chores and stuff. You know, maybe if I behave, I might be able to listen to it soon.
Yeah, well, tomorrow's Mother's Day. She should be letting her do all the chores so she can really appreciate tomorrow's day off. But I don't want to tell you how to run your household.
No, that's quite all right. That's quite all right.
Hey, Kyle, it's Ryan, the other co-host over here. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. I'm excited to be on the podcast. Are we recording this right now?
Dude, we're always recording. The mic is always on.
We literally don't know how to edit, so like everything's recorded.
we'll be fine. I do the editing. I'll make us sound pretty. Don't worry.
Okay.
So, Kyle, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, why would you, Mr. Kyle, want to be on a Rocky podcast, talk about Rocky?
Well, I am a lifelong fan of Rocky. I don't know when. I can't remember the first time I ever watched it, but I've liked Rocky since I was a little kid. My parents both like Rocky, more my mom, but like we used to have Rocky marathons as a family.
That's awesome.
Which of course was the first 5. They didn't have Rocky Balboa or Creed now. I don't know, have you guys tried to do a Rocky marathon with all 7 now? I don't know if I could do that today, but
No, I haven't tried it. I'd have to drink a lot of raw eggs to get me through it though.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, Kyle. I haven't tried it yet either. Put it this way, if I had an extra 15, 16 hours in my day, I know. I would do it in a heartbeat and I would do it happily. But it's just the lack of time set aside, it makes it impossible.
I like the idea of being lethargic for a whole entire day, couch potato, watching somebody be athletic and making their dreams come true.
Yeah, you know, well, I say if people can binge on Netflix and watch, like, all of Breaking Bad or something like that, that's pretty much the same. I'm a huge Rocky fan. I went to Philadelphia, saw the statue, ran up the steps.
Me too.
You know, like, I'm committed.
I'm the odd man out here.
You need to go. That should be, like, you should do the final episode of your podcast from, like, on the Rocky steps or something like that.
I got to get my visa.
Sure, that might be expensive and, you know, your quote-unquote families may not like it. But.
You know, while my wife would, she would totally support and understand my dream to do that one day. And who knows, by the time we get to Creed and finish up this Rocky series, maybe we'll have a few dollars put away.
You never know. Start saving now. Or, you know, you can get a sponsor maybe. Like, I hear Shamrock Meats is willing to sponsor pretty much anything.
Yes, right.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, Kyle, digging deep with that reference there.
You know, Johnny Carson didn't like having guest hosts that were better than him. So I feel like we should just end this with you right now.
Yeah, we're gonna.
Come on.
No.
All I can do is quote. I have like no real insights or anything, so.
You quote something and we'll give the insight on it.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. Well, where did you where do you think we're starting today's episode? I'm just curious where you think we're starting.
You said training montage. That's what I prepared for. But I've been preparing my whole life for this.
So we are starting with the training montage. So that's exactly where we're going to start off today's episode. So without further ado, welcome everybody to episode 6. Of the Going the Distance Rocky Series podcast. Cue the music.
My friend Julianne, her and her husband came over to the house, and she brought that. She bought a trumpet. I said, "Well, why did you start playing the trumpet?" Because, well, you know that movie, The Ridiculous Six, with Adam Sandler on Netflix. Because, well, there's a mariachi band on there with the trumpet, and it just inspired her to buy a trumpet and learn how to play. And I'm like, "Wow, that's interesting." Because I'm sure she's like heard Rocky or heard other great music, but an Adam Sandler movie got her the trumpet. So shout out to Julianne, and I said, "Hey, would you want to do something for the podcast?" And she said, "Sure." And so that was like her first couple attempts doing it. It has that homespun quality to it.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. Because I'm like, where did they source that? But that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I really like it.
No, there's no interruptions. This is a roundtable. We talk and just talk about anything you want, really. That's a great question. I'm sure our 10 fans out there actually might want to know where we got that music. So thanks for answering that question.
At least 10% of the fan base, right?
Go ahead, Ruben. Sorry.
Okay, before we started the podcast, I said to Ryan, I got a fart. So I'm like, it's not going to stink. But he still put his shirt above his nose as if that's really going to filter out.
It actually works. I work in the Navy, and we work in tight working spaces. And let me tell you, when people, you know, we're long hours at sea, you can't just leave the operations room to pass gas. You have to do it in place.
Does anybody leave a room to pass gas?
People do leave a room to pass gas.
Do you?
It depends.
I just let it.
With my in-laws, I would.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I lived with a Ukrainian guy. In his culture, it's like really rude to fart in front of someone.
Well, we're actually core to Ukrainian, and we're letting our people down.
you have some splaining to do.
The reason why I actually kind of bring that up is when you're exercising, it's really hard. You can't keep a fart in when you're exercising. You're doing crunches, you're doing burpees. Yeah. It comes out, and so I would imagine if the mic was a little bit lower, the boom mic, it would have caught a lot of breaking wind with those training sequences.
So speaking of training sequences, let's talk about Rocky's training montage. I wonder if Mr. Stallone, when he was down doing those crunches, and remember the black guy that was hitting him with a medicine ball and slapping his...
Yeah. Well, no. The black guy was punching him in the stomach in the second one.
Oh, was it the second one? Oh, that's right. The second one was a slapping to the stomach.
Hey, no spoiler alerts there, Kyle.
Sorry, yeah.
I'm joking.
The second one.
I'm joking.
Yeah, it's such a spoiler alert that a black guy slaps Rocky's stomach in the second movie.
Rocky's probably into that anyways.
Let's talk about the training montage. The first exercise, do we remember?
No, I just watched this probably half an hour ago. training montage opens up with him running in what like appears to be not quite a junkyard, but it's like a really industrial area of Philadelphia. He has a brick in each hand as he's running. Like he's really improvising and he's running on the train tracks. You see him running and there's like an elevated train in the background. And then you see him run on a train track and there's like a factory to his right.
Okay.
Like a big smokestack. And he's running with bricks in his hands.
Oh, I don't remember the bricks. Oh my goodness, Kyle.
Yeah, he's running with bricks. It's kind of like in the 80s, the Get in Shape girl kind of took off with that idea. Remember those little, weighted things that they would run with?
Bangle box, rhythm and ribbons, that's you. Showing the world what you can do.
It out with Bangle Bop's weighted bracelets and show it off with Rhythm and Ribbons. They both come with cassette and workout posters.
Get in shape, girl.
Get in shape, girl, from Hasbro.
I love that. You know, Kyle, maybe I've noticed. You know what I mean? It's one of those things like, do you notice it, but you don't make a note of it in your brain?
Yeah, like in the previous episode when you talked about how he took the ball off the counter, I never noticed that either.
I did an interview with the Rocky impersonator, and it's going to be coming up on a future episode. And he is, his name is Mike Kunda, and he is a huge, huge, obviously, he's a Rocky impersonator, does the tours in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And a great guy, great interview. I'm really looking forward to releasing it. He heard about that scene where I talked about that was the first time we saw the ball, and he couldn't believe it. He goes, no, that can't be right, because he told me he's seen the movie 800 plus times.
Yeah.
So he went back and corrected me, and he calls me out during the interview, and you'll see that or hear that call out in the interview. But that's what I mean. It's funny how I thought that was the first time it came on screen, because I was noticing that for the first time, but it was, as it turns out, wasn't the first time. But
he put the ball there before and was just picking it up.
Yeah, but my brain was like, hey, there it is. The first time we see the ball.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like we've said before in previous podcasts, we are not subject matter experts. We don't take notes on everything, and we really don't know what we're talking about. We're just fans.
So you're basically a standard podcast then.
Yeah, that's why we haven't got any sponsors yet. He does the train track ride. The next part of the training montage is he's running through the streets, kind of down the alley, and people are looking at him, jogging by, and he's waving at people. And
you remember the guy that throws the fruit?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's improvised. Those are not extras.
That's right. And it's funny, like you see people looking at him like, what on earth is going on?
Yeah, it's a van driving down the street with a camera outside of it.
Yeah, and this nobody at the time, like no one knew who Sly was. It's like, well, why is this guy filming himself running down our street?
This was before we had like mass media that we have today. But these people weren't, they knew what a camera was. They knew what a camera, you know, even a big camera. They probably thought this was a news special, maybe a documentary or something to the effect. I mean, they might have thought it was a movie, but because they were allowed to freely roam around the street, it was just a van driving down the street, they might have thought, oh, this guy is an athlete, and maybe he's being filmed for a news piece or something.
Yeah, who knows what they thought. But yeah, probably something along those lines.
That seemed like kind of a rougher area, right? So, like, I think when most people, if they film something, you probably wouldn't go to a rough neighborhood in Philly. But, like, for obvious reasons, you would in Rocky, so it's like, I have, like, a vague memory of Sly in an interview about this. And he was talking about how he was, like, going into their little world. And how he was, like, I think he described himself like something like an alien or something like that. And he was also really wondering, like, what on earth do these people think of me? Like, I think, like, that's, like, they're pretty tight-knit communities there.
Interesting.
And so I think they probably would have thought it was pretty odd. Someone's just going to go through their community with a camera and film it. Which, like you said, today is kind of par for the course. You know, you film everything.
I lived in New Jersey for a few years, and being in I'm white for the listeners that don't know.
Yeah, we're white, Kyle.
Yeah.
Well, funny,
Was it funny? It's funny that I'm white.
First white Reuben that I've known.
Well, you know other Reubens. Interesting.
Well, there was the American Idol. Season 2 winner was a black man named Ruben.
The winner of American Idol 2003 is Ruben Studdard.
Yeah. So yeah. There's not a lot of black, not a lot of white Rubens out there. Actually,
Ruben the Hurricane Carter.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a quick little tangent. I used to work at a home hardware type of store. This old man comes in. He has an order. I go to the back. I get the order from him. I see on the slip of paper that his name's Ruben. I take him to the till. I do the transaction. I said, hey, by the way, my name is Ruben too. He goes, oh. Did your parents ever tell you why they named you Ruben? And I said, no. He's like, mine either. And he walked away. So, so Ruben's not a super common name, even in the white community. Back to you living in New Jersey and being in sometimes a black neighborhood where I'd be the only white person there, people do look at you differently. You're a fish out of water.
Yeah, very true. And now that we're getting this background of the community, people rewatching the training montage actually brings up a kind of a new life. So I'm going to go back, as I always do, and I'm going to rewatch this training montage and kind of look at the people's faces in the background. And you definitely see people looking at the camera and looking at Stallone running through the street. One thing I liked when I watched the training montage is that there's a couple barrels of fire burning.
Yes.
We don't see that anymore, or we don't have enough barrels burning, do we?
No.
Barrel burning industry has really taken a hit in the recent decades.
I think big government's to blame.
Yeah, they've outsourced burning barrels to China, I think.
What I love about the burning barrel is the story behind it. Because somebody had to bring the barrel there.
Uh-huh.
Somebody brought the fuel. Because for a fire, you need to have fuel, ignition, and air. There's stuff you're bringing to the barrel to burn. And I just like the idea, like, is there a barrel guy that goes down the street and make sure the barrels are good to go? Like,
well, I think they're burning garbage. Because, like, it's funny. Like, if you look on that street, there's garbage everywhere. Like, it's some kind of market, right? Some kind of open market. And there's, like, cardboard boxes and, like, discarded, like, produce or whatever all over the place. And it's, I think, like, instead of throwing a lot of it out, they burn it.
Interesting.
I think you're absolutely right.
Good cash cow. Boy, you are a subject matter expert on barrel burning, number one. And
I got my degree in barrel burning, actually.
Oh, good.
Still paying off those loans?
Well, yeah, you know, it's not a cheap program.
No, it wouldn't be.
What do you do with the loan bills when they come in? Do you burn them in barrels?
Yes, of course.
That's
a beautiful area he's running in.
Yeah, what's the name of the river that he's running by?
It's probably the Delaware River, right? Because, like, Philly's not on the coast, right? But there's the docks and stuff because the Delaware River goes out to the Atlantic.
Okay. How long did you were in Philadelphia for? Were you there for business?
Oh, no. I just, when I was 23, I just decided I wanted to take a trip.
Uh-huh.
And so I went out to New York, Philly, and D.C. just by myself.
Oh, good for you.
Walked around.
Wow.
And, I'm a bit of a nerd, so I like looking at maps and stuff. And so before my trip, I'd look at maps of everything. And so that's one thing I noticed. Because I always thought Philly was on the coast from Rocky. Because, you know, when he's at the docks and he's collecting from Bob, you know, you see that big ship in the background.
Yeah.
And then really, Philly's just across the river from New Jersey.
Yeah.
So it's actually inland a bit, but that river gives it like access to, you know, makes it a port.
Interesting. I thought it was on the coast as well. I never, unlike you, I don't look at any maps. Just looked at Rocky.
You just take it as it comes, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny. Same here. The docks, the ocean. I know there's a lot of water around there somewhere. I never figured out what the source might have been. So that's cool.
So I see him running by this bridge. So that's the point I'm at right now.
We're there too. We'll go with you. Let's talk about that speed bag punching. This is something you can't fake. There's no CGI back then.
Oh, no, there's kind of CGI, wasn't there? Like Star Wars? And...
Nope. CGI was introduced, my understanding, CGI was introduced with the CGI that we're talking about. We're not special effects, CGI.
Okay. All right, I'm talking special effects.
Okay, we're talking computer graphics.
I think if there was a special effect you could fake a punching bag for it, they probably couldn't afford it. Like, it's just easier to just have him learn how to punch a speed bag.
Which I'm sure, which all of us, he does.
He does. And I think Stallone, in his own right, and why not, I think he prides himself in his speed bag punching ability.
Well, he's an athlete, world-class athlete. How many people do you see like that?
Yeah, like, it's funny, you see, like, these, if you go to special features for any of the movies and you talk to people he boxes, they all say they have a lot of respect for his boxing prowess, even though he's never been a professional fighter. And it's funny, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but in Creed, you see him work the speed bag. That's the only time you see Rocky do any training is the speed bag, so I think he likes it.
He definitely likes it. What I love, and it's funny that he brought up the Creed, because I was going to bring it up too, but he didn't bring up the part that I wanted to, so thank you. So number one, Stallone, I think, does pride himself a little bit in the speed bag ability. Two, I noticed in that scene that he's going toe-to-toe with Michael B. Jordan on the speed bag. I think we see the young actor, the old actor, going at the speed bag as long as they can, and I think Michael wins. And you see the Rocky character slash Stallone character kind of do a joke and like, ah, darn it, you beat me type thing. But I think it was legit that that Stallone actually really did get out of step first during that recording.
I did consider that, but in retrospect, I think you're right.
And I think if Stallone kept going and didn't miss the speed bag rhythm, they would have kept it as such. I don't think it was I don't think it was scripted that he was going to fumble before Michael.
A little trivia for you. He learned about speed bagging at party at Kitty's and Studs.
That's going to say the joke writes itself.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know what to say to that.
I've seen those same extras that you've seen regarding Stallone and those boxing people, like the people in the business of boxing have talked about Stallone's ability to box. And I think, I wonder though, is Stallone the type of person that's just good at what he does because he just puts everything in it? Like, if he was doing a firefighting movie, would they say, oh, this guy would have been a great firefighter?
Well, Cliffhanger might be a good example where you see, you know, a foam mattress underneath him or something like that. But clearly he's, again, a world-class athlete.
Yeah, he was hanging on that cliff.
Those muscles aren't airbrushed, I don't think.
It seems like he gets in better shape as the series go along, right? Now, I don't know if you guys want to talk. Like, I don't know how much you guys want to talk about the other movies in here. Like, if you want to do...
Go for it.
You want to keep it straight. Okay. So it's like Rocky 1 and 2, he's obviously in pretty good shape. Now, I'd say Carl Weathers is in better shape, but...
Yes.
You know, by Rocky 3... He's like noticeably different. Yeah, so like Stallone's in good shape in all of the movies, but Rocky 3, there's a huge transition where he's cut. Like every muscle you could see.
Yeah.
And I think he has like 1% body fat or something like that. Like he really starts to kind of get hardcore at that point.
Was during the Rambo phase too, obviously. And then, but I think his best physique, there's only one man in particular that I've admired their physique throughout the years, and that has been Stallone's. Like you, I've watched that transition that his body goes through from Rocky 1 to 4 especially. Rocky 4, I would say that was his peak look, his peak performance was Rocky 4. When he takes off
he was bulkier in 4, but like in a good way.
Yeah, when he took off that robe, the Drago fight, and we are getting a little bit ahead because we'll talk about that fight, of course, but when he takes off that robe, I'm like, man, that is a body.
Oh, geez, look at the butt on it. Yeah. He must work out.
To me, like, yeah, I'm already skipping ahead, but Drago did not seem as intimidating after that.
And that's the idea. I love how it's silly now to talk about, but I love how back in the 80s, you know, the physique idea was like a measure of a man. That's a measure of a man.
Yeah.
Now we know it means nothing. But definitely in the Rocky universe, the physique is ideal and important. So let's go back to the next part of the training montage.
Okay, so I believe he's at this point doing some one-armed push-ups.
Yeah. That's right, he's flipping back and forth, one-arm push-ups.
then you can see Michael mouthing what number he's at. So he was just at 49 when I paused it.
Yeah, and that's the guy in the episode 4, Kyle. We talked about this character. He's throughout the whole movie. He's the one that told Rocky that his stuff was on Skid Row.
Yeah, that's right.
And so it's funny that he's now in Rocky's corner, helping him count his push-ups.
It seems to me like Michael really didn't have anything against him. He was just like, he does whatever Mickey wants him to do. And if Mickey doesn't like Rocky, then he's moving his stuff to Skid Row. And if he does like Rocky, he's counting his push-ups.
All right, so the one-arm push-ups are done.
And now we have Michael, the white man, hitting him.
Yes, it's not the black man slapping his stomach. I jumped ahead the training montage. It's Michael hitting him with a medicine ball.
I read a book about this when I was in the 7th grade. Stallone is talking about that specific scene. And he said that, like, almost killed him, getting hit with that medicine ball. Like, Mike wasn't, like, just tapping him for the movies. Like, he was really hitting him with that. And he felt like his insides were being destroyed.
Well, I'm sure they were.
That's interesting.
It seems like Sly, like, it seems like a real recurring theme, and this is especially true in the upcoming fight, but it's like they're not faking it. And I think that translates really well into making the movie kind of more authentic.
Right.
Not cheesy or corny.
Do you think Burt Reynolds, if he got the role, he would have taken the medicine ball to the gut?
No. Yeah, not a chance.
No. Yeah, not a chance. Not a chance.
Oh, man. Can you imagine, Kyle? What's your thoughts on Burt Reynolds being Rocky?
This is the thing, you know, like, we're so used to Sly being Rocky that the thought of anyone else being Rocky is just absurd. But that being said, I think Stallone was the only real person that can do it. And, like, you guys were talking in your previous episode, like, what he was kind of going through in his personal life, which really mirrored Rocky here, I just don't think someone like Burt Reynolds could have acted sufficiently for that. Like, you almost need an underdog actor to play the underdog fighter, or it wouldn't work.
Well, he wouldn't have taken the punishment for that to happen.
No. Like, it would have been cheesier. Now, granted, they probably would have had a better budget for the film, because they, like you guys were saying before, like, it was $1 million budget, but one of the reasons why was because Stallone... Like, they sold Stallone that script based on the condition that he would star in it. So they didn't really have a lot of faith in the movie, but
yeah, they did,
like you said, I think it still would have been pretty cheesy.
Like we mentioned in episode 4, they haven't heard yet, is it would be fun to watch that alternate universe film, just out of fun, to see what it would have been like to see a different actor in the role that they've considered.
Yeah, the thing is that, like, if you're used to, like, Rocky's become such a big thing, anyone but Sly is totally unacceptable.
You think they'll ever remake the Rocky film that they do with some other franchises?
Yeah.
No. You fast forward 15 years, Stallone might still be alive, but it'd be a whole new generation.
Now, he owns the rights, so he'd have the ability to sell or not sell his rights to do so.
Okay, then fast forward 25 years when he's dead.
And his family's out for the money?
Yeah.
See, I almost saw Creed as kind of a way of doing that. Like, a better way, obviously. It's not a remake, but, like, in that movie, they're obviously trying to tie a lot of parallels to the first one.
Yeah.
It's basically Creed The Force Awakens.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't think people would take too well to a Rocky remake. You know, you remake movies, but I don't know. I personally, like, fans like myself certainly wouldn't. Like, I'd be really offended if they did a Rocky remake like that, but...
Well, what's a good remake?
Well, True Grit was a good one.
True Grit, yeah, absolutely. With Russell Crowe and...
No, True Grit with Jeff Bridges.
I was thinking of...
But 310 to Yuma was another good remake.
310 to Yuma, that's what I was thinking. But True Grit, yeah, that was actually a very good remake.
So there are some movies, but I guess we can say movies like 310 to Yuma and True Grit. Those come to mind because the originals, though maybe liked by many people, don't really have a following, so to speak, the way Rocky or Star Wars or something else does. So... Like, you couldn't say that, oh, nobody else can be Rooster like John Wayne did. But Jeff Bridges did do a pretty darn good job as a character.
Yeah, he did. He did. You're right.
But you know what? If they ever do a Rocky, to quote Rocky to Apollo Creed in Rocky 3.
You got me curious.
That's a good Valentine's card.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's stop, please. We're talking about the Rocky 1 montage. We are not going to jump in it because the Rocky 3 montage, I don't even want to, don't know what we're seeing in our head right now. We're not going to talk about it until we get to Rocky 3.
Okay, you guys got to bring me back on for that one.
Yes.
I have a word to say to about that montage.
I can't breathe.
Part of me wants to right now, but I don't want to. We have to make the fans have to wait, Kyle. The fans have to wait.
I just remember feeling.
Well, no, I'm just saying when you get around to doing
sure.
We'll love to have you on.
I'm not going anywhere.
I just remember as a kid feeling very uncomfortable.
Wait, we'll stop there. Okay. Rocky 3, the greatest montage ever. Okay. Rocky's getting hit in the medicine ball with Michael. Boy, Michael's really played a large role in this montage so far.
Well, it's funny, Michael disappears. But he comes back in Rocky 5, I noticed, when I watched it recently.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that when we get to Rocky 5. It's so hard to talk about Rocky without talking about the other films. It's almost, because it really is one big story, but...
True. Yeah, Michael disappears. Michael moved on after that fight, I guess, but...
Maybe he got a job in another gym?
Maybe it was like a Dinklage scenario, where he thought he's better off without Rocky.
Dunkelman
from...
American Idol.
Thank you.
When American Idol burst onto American television screens in 2002, the show had two hosts. Some don't remember that. There was Ryan Seacrest, of course, but there was this guy, Brian Dunkelman. Dunkelman did not come back for season two. Did he quit? Was he fired? Did Seacrest force him out? Whatever the reason, Dunkelman missed out on a chance to make millions. Seacrest certainly did. We recently traveled to Los Angeles to catch up with Brian Dunkelman, who for years was tormented by what might have been.
Dinklage is the Game of Thrones midget.
Father, I'm guilty. Guilty? Is that what you want to hear?
You admit you poisoned the king?
No. Of that I'm innocent. I'm guilty of a far more monstrous crime. I'm guilty of being a dwarf.
You're not on trial for being a dwarf.
Oh, yes I am. I've been on trial for that my entire life.
And I thought you were making a short joke that he disappeared.
No.
Sorry, what are they supposed to call them? Dwarves? Or little people?
Well, we saw one. I was out with my daughter. She's 5. And we saw one. And
saw one? Like it's a leprechaun? He spotted one hiding behind the produce?
And I just clarified that they're not called midgets or dwarves. They prefer to be called small people. And she said, if I was a midget, I would want to be called a dwarf. Because it sounds much cooler.
It does. So are we just normal people? See, that's what I don't like. They're called little people. Are we just people?
To them, we're big people.
Okay, fair enough.
Unless, like, they're in China.
They're
Papua New Guinea.
So if you're a little person in China, would you just be called a smaller person? All right.
I think we'd be smaller.
Wow. Okay, so we've offended...
A billion people.
The good news is I don't think we have any. A, we don't have any Asian listeners. B,
I don't know why I'm laughing. Okay.
You okay, Kyle? You still there? Have we lost you?
Oh yes. Yeah. I'm just. I'm like the Michael Jackson eating the popcorn meme right now.
Okay, so let's go back to that montage, Ruben. Speaking of his hurt back, in the next part of the montage, he's doing the backwards sit-ups against the ringside.
Yeah, he's really going down far. That's a lot harder than a normal sit-up.
And my understanding is, I'm not a big fitness freak, but I've talked to people who do sit-ups and proper sit-ups. That back action is actually not very good.
No, it's not. That's why I don't do it.
Well, you're still allowed to do sit-ups, Ruben. Just don't do them on the backside of a ring.
Okay, all right. I'll get back into it. I have to get down to my fighting weight.
And the next scene of the montage is what there, Kyle?
Pounding meat, really?
Yeah.
Sorry, you're right. Okay, I'm at that now.
Kitties and studs?
So the owner don't mind neither. Now that he's a contender.
Yeah, he goes in there, he tenderizes the beef for the packaging.
He does some carpaccio, he gets that.
Carpaccio?
You ever had carpaccio?
No, I'm not very refined, Kyle.
It's like this, I don't know if it's raw. It seems like raw meat, but it's pounded like super, super thin. Okay. You know, like Italian restaurants.
Oh, wow.
Anyways.
Like the Olive Garden.
Yes. Yes, like the Olive Garden.
Oh, we go back to the one-arm push-ups after the meat pounding?
Yeah, and then Michael's like, you're going to kill him.
That's right.
Then he kind of gives it. And you know what's funny? I actually think that's really important. Like, the training really builds you up as a viewer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Rocky really has a chance. Like, Rocky, you know, he's doing all this stuff. Like, I think he's, everyone's really positive at this point.
Sure. It's like the A-team. When there's, like, trouble happening, how are they going to do it? And then Ace has a plan. You're all working together, and you're like, oh, they're figuring out how to beat the bad guys. And that's what it is.
Yeah, the training montage in all the films has that build-up moment. Everyone looks forward to that music kicking in. As much as I love watching the training montages on YouTube here and there just for fun, it doesn't have the same effect unless you go through the whole journey in the movie to that point.
Of course not, no.
Sure, yeah, because prior to this, it was like a given assumption that Rocky's going to lose.
And an accurate assumption.
Rocky says that, he says, like, you know, the fight's set. And then it's like when he starts training, you start to think, okay, well, maybe not. Like, he's really showing some promise here. So it starts to kind of get in your mind that it's like at least Rocky has a chance at this point.
Very good point. Yeah, as a viewer, when you go through the journey here with Rocky, you see his attitude change about the fight, his attitude change about himself, and he's now really taking this all the stars have aligned for him. He has the love of his life, his trainer, Mickey, who he has admired but been neglected by for the past 6 years. They're now on the same page.
Right. Yeah.
Everything's aligned for Rocky in his head. He's like, man, I've got a real shot here. I'm fast-forwarding in my career, but I've got a chance here to go toe-to-toe with the champ. Make some noise.
And what's great is the running sequence for me. That's my favorite part.
We're just going to play it live here.
Man, he's just giving it.
Yeah, he's running flat out. Like, I think he's running maximum speed right now.
Oh, got to pause it there.
Yeah, he...
That maximum speed... That's what you want. Like, that's what...
Yeah. And that was improvised shot, too. I remember he was saying that in an interview. Like, they were just kind of running around, trying to get as many shots, and like, hey, look, there's a ship. Run as fast as you can.
It works.
It does work. And then right after that incredible sprint on the docks there with the ship...
Hallowed ground, gentlemen.
Hallowed ground, indeed. Now, the first time he ran these steps, huffing and puffing, holding them in his side. But ladies and gentlemen, the second time we see him... attack these steps, he conquers them. Turns towards the city of his hometown, hands up in the air. And that scene, can you get more classic than that scene, Kyle, with his hands in the air looking at that statue, looking at that city?
No. And that's why this is a classic American film, and that's probably one of the most well-known scenes in that entire film. And, you know, people like myself and Ruben and all these other people, like decades later, run up the steps and do the same thing. Like, I can't think of a lot of movies where you have something comparable to that.
I can't think of anything.
I'm actually going to give that some thought. What is another movie where people go to? Ryan and I live a few doors down from the X-Men Xavier University.
Yeah, you know where they filmed X-Men 1 and 2?
Victoria?
Yeah. It's the Royal Rose University building is the exterior. They do some interior shots. But they actually do a lot of the exterior shots in the X-Men film is that university here in Victoria. And I've never gone there thinking...
Wow. It's also Lex Luthor's house on Smallville.
Huh.
But the point being is that we're right by there and like, oh, hey, that's it. And it's more of a, huh. But it doesn't inspire anybody. There actually is a Wolverine lookalike. What's the term?
Impersonator?
Impersonator that does tours there once in a while.
So he's like his own Rocky tour guy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's X-Men version of that.
Yeah. I don't even know if he still does it because who really cares that much? Like, superheroes is like, oh, that's cool. Rocky, it's art imitating life. And exactly. So it inspires people to want to be a part of that, to do better, to make their life something.
Yeah, like it's, like this has become synonymous with overcoming a challenge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, people were like, that really struck a chord with people. Like, I think a lot of people could very easily put themselves in Rocky's shoes in this situation.
And their own Chuck Taylors.
Yes, exactly.
Now, enough cannot be said about this training montage and what it does for people. I mean, if you go on Twitter and type in Rocky as a search, or on Facebook type in Rocky, out of every 10 Rocky references, there will be somebody saying, about to do my workout, I need this lift today, I was having a bad day. This footage, thousands of people a day, if not a week, thousands and thousands of people drawing strength and inspiration and motivation from the music, the imagery, and the character on a daily basis.
I'm just hashtag going to fly now on Facebook to see what pops up there, and people working out, exercising at the gym, etc. Yeah, so every single day people are inspired by what Stallone did 40 years ago. Incredible. Men's Health Magazine, they created a Rocky workout. The author of the workout, BJ Gador, he's like a head editor at Men's Health. So he created a workout to do. And that was like just this past December, I guess you could say, probably coincide with Creed. But yeah, people want to work out like Rocky. They want to do that. It's a viable, people want to emulate that workout. They want to be Stallone. Not Stallone. They want to be Rocky. They want to conquer.
We should try to get him on an interview, actually, now that you're bringing it up, Rube.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up. I have emailed him.
Oh.
And to be continued.
Okay. We'll stand by if we get a response.
Exactly.
Okay. At the end of every Rocky movie, it is basically, is all this stuff happening at once. The training montage, the fight, the aftermath. So let's get into the next scene. The night before the fight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's my favorite. One of my favorite scenes in the whole movie.
Agreed, Kyle. And why don't you go ahead and tell us why it's your favorite, one of your favorite scenes in the movie.
Oh, okay. Like, we were just at the training montage when you're feeling really positive. The night before the fight, things kind of get real. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. Like, when you have a big event coming up in your life, you're kind of pumped for it. You may be a little nervous, but then right before it shows up, things kind of crash in on you, and you see how Rocky deals with that there. I actually, when I did the review for this scene, I took some notes about his apartment specifically. I don't know if we want to go into that much detail, but I noted every change I can see in his apartment since he was with Adrian, from when we saw it earlier in the film.
Oh, yeah, because she's moved in. She's a roommate now.
Yeah, they're roomies. They're bunking together.
But you know what's interesting is they're keeping their relationship honest. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, he was sleeping on the couch.
It's kind of cute in its own
way. Which Polly would be happy about.
Mickey too. Mickey too.
Yeah, because that's right. Because
that's it. Probably has more to do with Mickey now that you said that.
It was probably a training issue because I think that first date was. I think Rocky's legs were weakened.
I think, yes. I think there was no strength in those legs. I guess that's a real thing. I don't know if it's real and it's like that actually. But people really do believe that. I don't know if you've talked about that in a previous episode.
I think we touched on it, the idea being that grit or that hunger or that anger or whatever just that a man may feel if he's not relieved of sexual tension is then expelled in the ring.
Well, yeah, you know, he'd be more tense. He'd be more jittery. He'd be more on edge.
Yeah, what I heard as well, and actually Ronda Rousey, of all people, was talking about this.
Have women weakened her legs?
Well, no, that's the thing. Well, that could be, that you could have a point there. But what she was saying is that for men, the release of testosterone is when in leg weakening activities is detrimental to their fighting, but apparently for women fighters it's the opposite.
Oh wow!
So Ronda tries to get as much as she can before a fight. She says.
So basically, two fighters of the opposite sex, or whatever. Yeah, two fighters of the opposite sex probably shouldn't be in a relationship.
No way! No way! That they'd.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That wouldn't happen.
That's funny. Why don't you talk about some of the apartment changes? I like that. Talk about that, because those apartment changes you would have seen
huge
just before he goes to the ring.
Yeah. So I think this is a symbol for how his life has changed in a short period of time, because when you see his apartment originally, he's very lonely. They have that music on, which is a little bit sad, but not positive music. Now, though, it's kind of more, it's quiet, obviously, because it's nighttime, but the opening scene, you see the wall around the Rocky Marciano picture that he has up. Uh-huh. So the thing you'll notice right away is there's a ton of newspaper articles around. Rocky now is, he's a celebrity of sorts. You see Newsweek up there. You see Tempo magazine, which I don't think is a real magazine. I think it looks a lot like what Time magazine should look like. You know, probably because of copyright or whatever. Newspaper articles. They have a Santa beard on Rocky Marciano.
Yes, I always loved that. I love that.
They have a Christmas tree up, which, as a kind of on a personal note, the star on that Christmas tree is the exact same star I had as a kid. Which, for some reason, as a kid, I never noticed that, but I noticed it now.
Oh, wow.
One thing I really liked, actually, is when it pans over towards the bed where Adrian is. Like, you see Rocky on the couch, and then it pans towards the bed where she is. You see, like, on a table or something, you see a picture of Rocky and Adrian together.
Yeah, we're looking at it right now, Kyle.
Yeah, and then around it, you see a bunch of, like, Christmas cards and stuff like that. Like the apartment's kind of a lot more human now.
Right. He probably doesn't just have beer and cupcakes in the fridge anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Or a rolled up mattress with a knife in it as a punching bag.
But his couch isn't a bad couch, though.
No, they've kept the couch. The couch has made it through the transition. You see a painting behind the bed of, like, these dogs.
Yep.
And then also, like, if you look on the walls by the door, you'll see, like, plates mounted on the walls and stuff. On the shelves, you'll see some kind of, like, I want to say wallpaper, but it's not that. But you put it on, like, inside of drawers and shelves a lot to make it nicer. Like, Adrian's kind of given this dingy, crappy apartment a bit of the woman's touch.
I wonder if it still stinks.
Likely. I don't know if you can get the stink out of that apartment.
That's great insight, Kyle, and that's awesome. Speaking to those who made the movie, kudos to the prop designers to add that personality and real-worldliness to the scene. A very quick scene, but it does change the environment of the apartment totally.
Yeah, and I think even if you don't consciously notice it, I think on some level you do realize that when you look at the apartment.
Sure. I agree totally. So he's walked through that apartment because he's gone off the couch. He's gotten up. He snuck out of the apartment to go to the ring the night before the fight. So the auditorium, the Philadelphia Spectrum, I believe it's called, is empty. And the first scene we see is Apollo's face on the big, huge banner.
I wonder how much that cost.
Yeah, in real life to make that big banner?
Yeah. Like, that'd be a big part of their budget.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. I don't know. You have to think of it in terms of, like, what things cost in the 70s, but nowadays that would cost, like, thousands. Easily 10,000 or more. Like,
so he's looking at Apollo, looking at the ring, getting the feeling of the ring. And this scene is actually called, because the music for the scene is called Alone in the Ring.
This is one of my favorite scenes of the whole movie, to be honest. Like, there's just something about it. Something being in the Spectrum where it's totally deserted.
Yeah,
it's something I would do personally if I was in that situation. Like, I'd want to go there the night before and kind of suss everything out. And I think, like, Rocky at this point really realizes how big time this fight is. Like, I think on some level he knew that because obviously you're fighting the champ. But then when you actually step in that ring yourself, then you kind of realize, oh, wow. Like, this is, you know, the last fight he had was in that church that got turned into a boxing, like a makeshift boxing arena.
Yeah. It had a picture of Jesus, and now there's a picture of him and Creed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that picture of him, by the way, is a horrible picture.
Yeah,
I made a note of that, actually. Yeah, that, like, Apollo's picture looks just like Apollo.
It really does.
Yeah, then Rocky's picture looks like he's some kind of troll or something.
It kind of looks like, you know, that woman or nun, I think it was, that tried to touch up painting of Christ.
Well,
somebody listening is going to know that some nun got a priceless painting or retouched it.
Okay.
It looks the same. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's worth Googling. It's a visual exercise regardless.
Yeah, great for a podcast.
Take a 19th century piece of artwork in need of a little care, let an eager grandmother with a paintbrush have a go at restoring it, and this is the result.
We saw that everything was falling down and we fixed it.
Cecilia Jimenez thought she was helping out, but now she's distraught at what she's done. And as the residents of Borja in northeastern Spain take it all in, she's claiming she didn't act alone.
Did somebody order you to do this? Of course. The priest knew it. The priest knew it. He did. How could we do something like that without his permission?
You did it secretly, didn't you?
No, of course not. Everybody who came into the church could see me as I was painting.
The fresco of Christ isn't particularly valuable, at least not in financial terms, but it is or was loved by locals.
Until now, she just painted on the tunic, but the problem started when she painted the head as well, because she's destroyed this painting.
Professionals will attempt to fix the botched job, but without a miracle, they will struggle to restore it completely.
Poor Jesus. I mean, he looks like he's the result of a very long weekend with the boys on his stag night. I've never seen anything look so transformed. This is such a wonderful rendition of a person you wouldn't necessarily recognize in a police lineup, but it's certainly a famous picture now.
The unfortunate attempt has made this grandmother something of a reluctant viral celebrity online. Already, mock-ups of other restorations in her style are being published, like this one of The Last Supper. But for Cecilia Jimenez, it'll just be a matter of praying that the original image of Christ can indeed be redeemed. Phil Lavelle, Al Jazeera.
And now, Kyle, you'll probably get into this part, but what makes this scene so poignant, not just him walking through, you see Stallone, well, the actor Stallone, but you see Rocky's eyes just kind of looking around, almost dumbfounded, almost awestruck. Sorry, Ruben just brought up the picture. Okay.
It's a woman.
Oh, my goodness.
A woman updated a fresco painting, I think it's like from the 16th century.
Oh, my goodness. This is terrible. So she was given a old picture of Christ that was from the 16th century, asked to retouch it. Okay, so for our listeners at home, we will post this story and the picture because...
You want to know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so Rocky's picture kind of looks like this. Yeah, and this is a terrible story. Okay, so what makes this scene so poignant, of course, is Jurgens happens to be there too.
Which is rather odd, if you ask me.
And I think it's one of those. It's a storytelling moment. Jurgens just happens to be walking through, and he's wearing his red gloves. He's got a cigar in his hand.
Yes, of course. I wanted to mention that, those red gloves.
I love how he's like, "Hey, Rocky, what are you doing here, brother?" And he's like, and the only thing that he brings up is the fact that the painting is off. The colors are off. That he's got a white
badge with a red stripe.
But this is really important to Rocky, and he's almost childlike with his concern.
You see this a lot in the film. This isn't the only time.
Like what, for example?
Okay, so like, for instance, when he's about to leave the dressing room for the fight, he's like, "Hey, you don't think this robe's too baggy, is it?"
Right. So, of course, he talks about the shorts, and what makes this scene so heartbreaking is when Mr. Jurgens says, "It doesn't really matter, does it?"
Rocky, what brings you here tonight?
Mr. Jurgens, the poster's wrong.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm wearing white pants with a red stripe.
It doesn't really matter, does it? I'm sure you're going to give us a great show. Try to get some rest, kid. Good night.
He's right in a cold, calculating way from his perspective. He's already made the money. Like, his money's in his pocket already. Win or lose, Jurgens walks away with whatever cut he gets from making this fight happen.
Right.
But in Rocky's world, it's all that matters.
My part with this, I know for the sake of the movie, it really happened. But I almost wonder how much of it would have been in his imagination. Meaning that if Jurgens didn't even show up, okay, Ryan, you mentioned this is an odd scene. Why would Jurgens be there? Or was that you, Kyle?
Yeah, that was me, yeah.
Because I think when Stallone was writing this, he wanted to express what he was feeling. So if he's all alone, he's not able to express that. So in comes... You need Juergens there for that to happen. I know Juergens was really there for the movie, but it's also imaginary in the sense of, yeah, you did need Juergens there so that he could express that.
And it's funny what Juergens said, too. He doesn't say, like, oh, you're going to give us a great fight. He says, you're going to give us a great show.
Yes.
And like, in Juergens' mind, and in pretty much everyone but Rocky and his closest circle, this is just a show. Like, they couldn't get the rank contender, and so they're playing this novelty, as Apollo called it.
Yeah.
And it's just a show. Like, Apollo's planning to carry this guy for a few rounds and then knock him out.
Creed in three.
Yeah, Creed in three. Oh, I just want to mention one thing.
Yeah.
And it is a little bit to the next movie, but what I thought was kind of funny is that on the picture, the shorts Rocky's wearing, the red shorts with the white stripe, those are the shorts Apollo's wearing in the next movie.
Whoa. He wears that color scheme?
Yeah, he wears red shorts with a white stripe.
That's a great find. I wonder how many other Rocky fans picked that up, because I've never noticed that before. Now that you're saying it, I see it totally in my head, and you're right. We're looking at a picture now. Good catch there, Kyle.
I'm here.
That's, well, hey, again, I say again, we are not subject matter experts. We have no we have no business doing this podcast, but yet here we are.
They pay us the money, we do it.
That's right, our sponsors are coming in hard and furious, so we got to keep the podcast going. Speaking of sponsors, let's give a shout out to...
Shamrock Meats.
You can come in and pound your own meat. We'll wrap up your pound meat, and your wife will take care of it when you get home. Before we get to the final fight, Rocky has a little discussion with Adrian lying in bed next to Adrian. Now, this scene, of course, you talked about your favorite. Like, this whole movie is full of
favorite. This is what I meant by my favorite. Like,
okay.
Without this scene, this movie's meaningless, in my opinion.
Okay, Kyle. Now I get you. Now, I really like that Alone in the Ring scene, because it bleeds into this discussion with Adrian. Yes, okay.
Yeah. So Rocky he comes to this realization, and he sits down with Adrian, and he kind of wakes her up because she's sleeping. And he's like, I can't do it. She's kind of confused, and then she says, Apollo. He's like, yeah, I can't beat him. I'm not even in this guy's league. And then I like what she says, like, what are we going to do?
I love that. I totally agree. That total supportive wife. Not like, snap out of it, or what do you mean? Everyone's expecting you to show up tomorrow.
And what I also is that she's not you. Like, you can do it, Rock, or something like that. But it's a total,
yes,
it's a total
exactly.
we.
Yeah, like, we're in this together.
She's awesome. I love Adrian.
Yeah, Adrian's the best, and Talia Shire, she does such a good job playing her.
Oh, yeah.
And what you guys were talking about in the previous episodes about the word bum really comes up here.
Yes. Yes, it does. Your boy, you're...
Because he's saying, I don't matter. It doesn't matter if I lose this fight or if this guy opens my head, because I was nobody before.
Yeah, it don't matter, because I was nobody before.
Don't say that.
Oh, come on, Adrian. It's true. I was nobody. That don't matter either, you know? Because I was thinking, it really don't matter if I lose this fight. It really don't matter if this guy opens my head either. Because all I want to do is go the distance. Nobody's ever gone the distance with Creed. And if I can go that distance, see, and that bell rings, and I'm still standing. I'm gonna know for the first time in my life, see, that I weren't just another bum from the neighborhood.
Which Adrian fights him on. He mentions, like, no one's ever gone the distance with Creed before. And if I can go that distance, then I'll know for the first time in my life that I'm not just another bum from the neighborhood.
That is the whole premise of his character. That is the whole reason why we as viewers have gone on this journey with him, because we started off, as we talked about in our first episode, he's just a bum. He's just going through the motions. He's just part of the city, part of the decoration of the city. And he knows he wants to be more. He knows it's inside of him, but he's never been able to showcase it or just make it happen. And here it is in his lap, and it's the night before the fight. And he's like, this is my one time that I can show the world and myself that I'm not just another bum. This is,
yeah, like he said on his date, like he wanted to show that he could be a good pro. And if he can do something that no other pro boxer could do, then I think he can kind of rewind his life and said, okay, you know what? If I would have done this, I would have been a good pro. Like, I would have been a serious contender.
Not,
I think he's under no illusions that, like, after this fight's over, nothing's going to happen.
No, there ain't going to be no rematch.
Ain't going to be no rematch. But he knows if he can go the full 15 rounds, then he's something special.
Thank you.